Over the past 8 months, Caltrans and the city of San Francisco have been periodically sweeping people out of an encampment under the 280 on-ramp at 5th and King, just west of AT&T Park. Each time, the community of homeless campers, including Ian Smith, would return.
Sandra and Tomas, the couple over there, sat there and basically made a home, you know, back there. And yeah, there was flowers and, you know, a little, you know, rock garden and everything like that. It was really, really nice.
Last year, Caltrans promised to build a fence in January to keep people out. They got around to doing that last week. But first, the public health department, the police, and other city officials teamed up to move the nearly 30 people camping there, first to a church shelter and then to rooms in residency hotels. KALW's Mary Reese reports.
Last fall, I went to 5th and King Streets in San Francisco, just under the on-ramp to I-280. A group of tents inhabited the space then. The ground around the tents was swept, and bicycles stood in neat lines. Residents such as Jessica Prater knew one another and felt safe there.
You know, I can trust pretty much everyone down here, and if for some reason something does come up missing, somebody has my back. Like, I was a single female out here at one point, you know, and I never had worries. Like, I never carried a knife, I never carried pepper spray or any, you know, personal weapon.
A month ago, flyers went up warning that the encampment would have to move, that Caltrans construction would begin on March 11th. And right on schedule, on Monday of last week, police officers and the city's homeless outreach team put wristbands on the camp residents and helped them load their belongings onto trucks. Then Caltrans workers began drilling holes, putting in posts, and pouring concrete for a new fence to barricade the area from reentry. The people from the 5th and King encampment were told to go to a temporary shelter set up at City of Refuge Church, a little over a mile away on Howard Street. They stayed there for 3 days and 2 nights. The church also had a pop-up service center where former campers could get food and a shower, talk with social workers, and get assessed for housing. I stopped by on Tuesday last week. Because of privacy rules set by the Department of Public Health, I wasn't allowed to talk with the displaced campers inside the shelter, but I could talk with them on the sidewalk outside. Ray Brown, a homeless veteran and unemployed construction worker, lived with his girlfriend under the on-ramp at 5th and King for about 5 months. He told me he was worried the police would arrest some of the group.
We all believed it, you know. They were going to come down there and run names and try to throw us in jail that they could, you know, because that's generally what happens, you know.
And what happened instead?
They loaded our carts and put them in storage and gave us a place to stay and helping us. And we're very happy about that.
Inside the church, the sleeping mats were neatly pushed to one side of the room, with some blankets and pillows lying among them. About 8 tables were set up on the other side. At a few, people were eating sandwiches and chatting. At a table near the front, a woman with a computer was talking intently with one of the homeless clients. The city's homeless outreach team was there to offer assessment and services. The atmosphere was calm, peaceful, even hopeful.
The service we had today, you know, we had mental health here, substance abuse.
Fred Thompson was working as the shelter manager.
What else do we have here? Haircuts, massages, methadone clinic, what else? Nurse practitioners.
He said he'd heard a positive response from the newly sheltered.
They're very grateful. You know, they didn't have to sleep outside last night. One of them told me, said, my day started off today better than it did yesterday.
From the makeshift shelter, by Wednesday night, one person went into a more permanent shelter, and 26 were placed in single-room occupancy hotels. James Thomas, who'd been homeless for almost 2 years, told me what getting a room means for him.
I've been doing a lot of work with, like, catering and PR and whatnot, and getting back into those kind of jobs, it requires me to actually be clean and maintained, and it was hard for me not to be able to do that. Right now, I'm able to just jump right back into that and keep that, and it really makes a big difference.
The move into an SRO comes with some expectations, according to Bevan Dufty, director of HOPE, that is, Housing Opportunity, Partnerships, and Engagement for the City of San Francisco. He says the new residents will work with newly assigned case managers on individual plans.
For some people, they may not have ID. For some people, they may qualify for SSI, disability, and so they should apply to that to have a source of income. For some people, it may be that they have the ability to go to work. For some people, they need treatment.
And, he says, those people have to follow through.
What doesn't work is if somebody shuts himself in a room, doesn't want to meet with someone, doesn't want to be accountable in terms of working on a plan and getting somewhere, that's when you fall into trouble.
The SROs that house the formerly homeless are in the Tenderloin, Chinatown, and South of Market districts. Dufty says those can be challenging environments due to drug use and small crimes in the neighborhoods, so the city considered other factors to counter those obstacles.
The health department focused on trying to group people in the three buildings that they were placed that had friendships and associations so that they would not be separated from their support network, so to speak. And we'll see how that works.
Back at the shelter, Vanessa Romo, who'd been homeless for years, told me she's ready to make a change.
Part of the assessment asked if you would be willing to save up money for permanent housing. So I'm assuming that when we get to the stabilization housing, that we do know there's case managers there on site, but I'm sure the case managers are going to have us do some type of money management plan, which for me is a good thing because I get SSI and I end up blowing off my check and having my whole check gone within 6 days, sometimes five.
Despite the general mood of optimism, at least one person I met was upset. I found Brian Georgie, homeless for 5 years, sitting on the curb outside the City of Refuge Church.
And they told me that they can't help me. They don't have enough rooms. But down there, they told us that they had a room for each and every person.
Georgie lifted his cap to reveal hair cropped close to his skull.
The only thing that they've offered us is a haircut.
Because of epilepsy, Georgie has a therapy animal, a pit bull he's raised since she was a puppy. He used to have a case manager through the homeless outreach team, but when he went to Washington for a family emergency and missed an appointment, he said, his case was closed. He lost his former SRO room. Now he's back to square one.
It seems to me that they're playing a favoritism role here with those that they've never encountered before, compared to those that they already know that have problems.
Hope Director Bevan Dufty says they're trying to get to everyone. Andy says that setting up a shelter in which to house a group temporarily before offering transitional housing may prove to be a useful model.
My phone's already ringing and my emails are coming in from people with suggestions. Certainly one of the reasons we prioritize this area is because there were a large number of people there. I definitely think that of the neighborhood, South of Market is the most affected area, but there are definitely other parts of our city that have chronic homelessness.
On my way home, I see that for myself. Near the corner of 5th and Bryant, I see grocery carts, sleeping bags, bundles of clothing, people napping in the shade. One bright-faced woman holds out a cup by the roadside. The new fence near the Caltrain terminus might have disrupted the cycle of homelessness for some people, but many others still wait for help. In San Francisco, I'm Mary Reese for Cross Currents.